Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, three generations. The heirs with him of the same promise. All three generations had the same promise. Verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past what? The age. Because she judged him, talking about God, faithful, who had promised. Man didn't promise her, God promised her. Verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, talking about Abraham, he couldn't function, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we know that you do all things well. Father, I've submitted myself to you long, long ago, and I dare not take myself back into my own hands. God, I trust you with all my life because all my life belongs to you. God, you have shown me a pattern of faith, and I've seen so many things happen by faith, and there's much more you want to show, and there's much more you want to do. Father, the full demonstration of who you are cannot be seen in this earth without faith. So, Father, we believe by faith now, God, that we will see all that you have promised in this season of our lives. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody shout amen. Now, you go ahead and take your seats. I want to walk you through some things tonight. Faith for your season. Let me tell you where you spent most of your faith. Trying to survive when you were out of season. The problem with the church, I speak to the church. I'm an apostle in my own right. I speak to the church. You used up most of your faith trying to get through the process. Now that you come into your season, you don't have the faith to believe that this is manifestation time. You have exhausted your faith in the meantime. I have a message that I preached about in the meantime. In the meantime is the in-between time. When you're believing, when you're speaking positive, and nothing's happening. So many people who are in the church, they may be serving in the church, but they doubt everything pertaining to the church because they could not handle the meantime. They pray prayers that they have not seen answered yet, not knowing that God is able to answer a prayer even if it's 25 years later. See, they don't properly understand, Bishop. They don't properly understand the Bible. And they don't properly understand that you use faith to move through your journey, but you need faith for the fulfillment of your journey. So much of them have run out of fuel. So that's why you start to see bad attitudes in the church. They were nice when they had faith. Now they have no faith. So now you're seeing the fumes. Because it takes faith. The journey starts with faith. The journey ends with faith. You cannot say that you have faith at this point and enter into heaven because it takes faith to believe that heaven exists. So don't die while you're in unbelief. Because you may go to a destination after doing all that service in church all those years, you may go to a destination where unbelievers go. So it takes faith, and we have to visit this. And I had on my mind and on my radar at least 3 weeks ago that I will begin to teach on faith simply because, not because I want anything from you, but because I want to see God glorified through your life. And without faith, God will not be glorified. But somebody said, I tried this. How many years have you been born again? And you say you tried it. You need to give a lifetime to God because he gave a life for you. So stay with me here because I'm gonna walk you through it. There's a major shift that's going on. I'm shifting all structures. I've been working on it for a while. Even today, as I was studying a little project that I was working on, I needed the commissioner's help. And I was going to call the commissioner about noon today. But while I was sitting there studying, right around 9:30, the commissioner called me. And the commissioner said, I'm going to work with you. You let me know what you want to do, and we're going to work with you. That was today. That was today. Because faith says that God will give me favor if I maintain and I'm walking in his purpose. Now, some of you are upset with God because you had your purpose and not his purpose. And you want God to support what you came up with. But God doesn't support what you came up with. God support what he comes up with. I use my faith to believe that what he said about me when I was inferior, that it will come to pass. Now, when I started, I want to tell most of you who don't know me, I didn't start like this. But God gave me a picture of this then, and I believed so much then. I walked through all the inferiority. I walked through all the criticism to get to this place because I felt like when he said it, I believed it, I received it, and I believed that it could be so. What destiny does God have for you that you're going to have to bleed your way to that place? Faith is not like magic. Some of y'all been in too much witchcraft. I think they look at faith as magic. Faith is not magic. Faith is trusting what God said. If you don't have a word on it, don't do it. Because you need faith in that word. You can't be hoping and praying. You got to have a word that goes along with your prayer and with your hope. So you have to have a word from God. That's how faith is. So once you hear a promise, find your word on it, believe it. And then you establish order around that word and allow that word to have the authority of God in your life. So that when you're in the stormy season, the rainy season, when you're in the dark season, you hold on to the word of God that you have. I know the storms will come. You know the storm will come. Some of y'all are in storm. But do you have the word of God that you trust while you're in the midst of storms? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When I'm in the darkest day of my life, when I buried my mother, I had my mother right here in the front of this church. I lifted my hands at that time and said I will go to the nation. You all would have never met me if my mother had not laid to rest in front of this church, because that was the day that I announced to the entire world I would go to the nations. I accepted the invitation. The first place I came was to South Africa. This is Bishop Lazarus' daughter and granddaughter sitting over to my right. But it was the darkest day of my life that I was released to the nations. I believe that in the darkest day of my life that God will expand me. See, some of y'all don't know what darkness is about. It's about expansion time. So my mother is sitting up here in a box, and I always wanted my mother with me. I lift my hands while I'm standing over her coffin, and I said, now God, I will go to the nations. The next invitation came and I said yes, and I was on a plane flying to Johannesburg, South Africa. Where does God want to take you that he can't take you because you can't believe past that traumatizing event in your life? Because there's something more to life, that's why you're still alive. If I got breath, I'm going to believe. There's no way I'm going to be living in this earth and have a low level of faith. If I'm still here, I'm going to believe for something today. And if I'm still here tomorrow, I'm going to believe for something tomorrow. I am going to use the word of God because I understand that he has no respect of person. So if he can do it for Abraham and he can do it for Sarah, he can do it for Stephen A. Davis. And I don't need a title for that. All I need is faith to believe that. Some of y'all act like God is doing great stuff for somebody and won't do great stuff for other people. The reason God's not doing great things for other people because other people are not believing like they should believe. Some people just want to impress people. I want to impress God, and I feel like God is very much impressed with me right now because I believe that I receive. It's impossible to please God without faith. So I have faith, so I'm pleasing God, and God is very happy with me right now. What about you? Now let me walk you through some things, because we have gotten to this place to where people, because they come to church, they say, I'm believing. No, you came to a building. But it doesn't mean that you believe. There are certain characteristics of a person who believes. And you cannot let your in-between time wear you out where you don't have the fuel or the energy to give birth. I have been through some treacherous things. You know, let me, because I have pastors here. I have a lot of pastors here. I have been through treacherous things because people don't understand. I'm a man of authority. So I come under authority and I expect everything under me to submit to the authority that I have. So when something under me tries to control me, then I am not in violation. I'll stay in my place and I'll lower my weight because I will not let what's under me move me out of order. So I have faith in the order of God. So it's been so difficult because what's under me has always wanted to be over me. But I had the faith to believe if I stand my ground, God was going to do something good in my life. Some of you need to learn by faith how to stand your ground. You got to understand that if you put your faith in order, order will bless you. I am a living witness that order will bless you. If he made you a woman, be a woman. If he made you a man, be a man. If he made you a child, be a child. Whatever he made you to be it. Stay with me. So we're now in a season. We were in Dallas on Sunday. And while we were in Dallas on Sunday, it was just amazing. And we were humbled by the fact that God trusted our faith so much that he would put us into those arenas. We have not done anything to impress anybody but believe. We have not done, Lady Davis, we have not done anything but believe. We're impressing God, and God impresses people. So we've not done anything to impress people. So the terminology that many of you use is you don't need to be a brown nose. My nose is brown without me. So that is not the case. So you got to capture this because we're looking at people for examples that don't have faith. And they're tormented by their unbelief, not by their situations, because their situations are not as bad as their unbelief. Because they're believing that it's going to get worse, and God said it's going to get better. So God sends you to a place like this so you can hear a message as it's going to get better. But you're rehearsing in your mind that it's going to get worse. So your fear kicks in instead of your faith kicks in. And when your faith kicks in, you will go in the right direction. When your fear kicks in, you'll go in the opposite direction. So the pandemic has brought fear on all of our lives, and we're wondering why we're carrying all these characteristics of failure. And we quote scripture, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. How many of you are wearing your situation tonight? Okay. James 1 and verse 2 down to verse 4. James 1, verse 2 down to verse 4. I've learned that a lot of preachers don't believe over the years. I have. I learned that a lot of preachers. What if you were mentored by someone who doesn't believe? I want to ask you a question again. What if you were mentored by someone who doesn't believe? Do you have the DNA of doubt, or do you have the DNA of faith? Because to be honest with you, when you're under great leadership, there's a transfer of faith. You don't have to dress like them. You don't have to twitch like them. But you should have faith like them. You should believe like them. You should be able to rehearse and regurgitate what they taught you because you're living by it. So there's a language of faith. There's a language of believing. We want to speak in tongues. I think sometimes we need to be quiet in tongues until we start speaking in faith. Because there's a lot of people who speak in tongues, and as soon as they stop the unknown language, they start a language that don't fit in this house, which is unknown. That's doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief is an unknown language for this house. We speak faith, we get results, and you sit all around results, but you got to learn how to change your language. When you come into the body of Christ, the language has to change. If your language doesn't change, it's a sign that your heart hasn't changed. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you're still speaking doubt and unbelief, you have not allowed the word of God to get in your heart and begin to germinate so it produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. Every time the word gets into your heart, it'll begin to change your language because it's germinating in your heart. I just believe, my wife will tell you, my daughter will tell you, no matter how bad things seem to look sometimes, I'm telling them it's going to be okay. The change is going to work in our favor. Things are going to work out for our good. Don't worry about what they're doing. What they're doing can't hinder what we're doing, because what we're doing is based on God's purpose for our lives. So let's not worry about them and give them negative energy when we need positive energy of faith. I said I wasn't going to get loud. James 1, verse 2 down to verse 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Who's got a trial? Who's got a trial? Who's got a trial? Who's got a trial? Who's got it? See, most of y'all don't know what a trial is. It's the thing you ran from to come to service. So, if there's a trial, James said, count it all joy. So he said, get excited when you're dealing with a trial. I noticed in my life that success doesn't excite me. I get excited about my next dimension when I'm in a trial. It's when I have opposition, it points to the fact that I am about to get a promotion. Not one of my promotions have come without a trial. It may be when you think you're fighting your trial, you're fighting your promotion. It's that thing that you have to walk through to get to the destination. That's why you need faith to get to that place, so that you don't reject your trial and you don't call on a prayer team to pray away your trial, but you rejoice in your affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all, which means no matter how many things happen, God has some good things on his mind concerning you. I think, Sasha, the reason they think nothing happens because I never really talk deep about what's going on. It's almost before I can tell you about the trouble, the answer has already come. I am so accustomed to God bringing a crop from a seed that was sown. I'm accustomed to that. I have a lifestyle that believes if I sow, if I give, if I commit, God is faithful. Now, stay with me here. Faith in the voice of God will lead you to your purpose. Faith in the voice of God will lead you to your purpose. Let's define this purpose thing. Let's lay this out. Well, if you study your Bible, you understand Abraham, who was once Abram, if you understand the progression in his life, God took a hold of him because God needed someone. So Abraham realized that God needed something and Abraham needed something. So Abraham now taps into the purpose of God and now he receives the promise. Now you got to understand while you're chasing your career or pursuing your career, what about your purpose? And no disrespect to anybody, but I see people all the time trying to do things that they're not good at because they want to be where the attention is. If the attention is there and it's not your purpose, you're going to bring darkness to that place. So the performance in the church is low because you got to volunteer what God called and ordained a person to be. And you have to understand these type of things So the church looks low because many of the functions in the church are outside of their purpose. And let me make you laugh just a little bit. I've heard some people on a platform, and I'm like, you know you need to put that microphone down. Seriously, I've heard some people sing. They call it sing. If it takes that many times to clear your throat, we don't have all that. Our services are structured. We don't have 5 minutes for you to clear your throat. Somebody else needs that mic. You understand what I'm saying? So what we have, and we think, and it's because of how low level we think of the church. So we think that we can grab just any old body and put them in place and think the church is going to operate in excellence. Well, the church can't operate in excellence when you have people who are not in purpose. I'm going to say it again. The church cannot operate in excellence when you don't have people who are in purpose. I know what you want to do. I know what you like doing, but what are you anointed to do? I had to come to a place, and I've arrived there, to where I'm no longer going to allow people to function with me who don't have purpose. Because it creates confusion. And it lowers the standard of God's church. And it keeps individuals from believing that God can do anything but fail. All right. Stay with me. Faith in the voice of God will lead you to purpose. Abraham heard God's voice, and it led him not just to faith, it led him to purpose. Let me do this. All of your provision is not in what you believe, it's in your purpose. Let me say this. I've been pastoring 25 years. If I was still in Pinson with 23 people after 25 years, I would start asking myself about my purpose. Because I don't have another 25 years to waste. So faith says, because I heard the voice, faith says, now I have to find my purpose. What am I really supposed to do with my life? How am I really supposed to use my life? I don't want to razzle dazzle you emotionally. I want to bring some truth to your life. Because I believe your wealth is attached to your purpose. The call from the commissioner was a sample of purpose. I didn't call him, he called me. And the people I was doing business with, they told me just yesterday, they said, well, we know you have a relationship, so based on what you tell them, they'll help us to work with you on this project. So when you're in purpose, favor comes on your life. When you're in purpose, things begin to line up. Yes, you're going to have some opposition, but you have purpose and you have faith because a force had led you to purpose. I never would endeavor in any project that I didn't have purpose in. They say, well, Apostle Davis, he's doing a lot. Everything I'm doing is my purpose right now. Everything I'm doing. There's not one thing that I'm doing that God is not furnishing me with what I need to get it done. That's a sign that you're in purpose. God is now obligated to you by faith when you're in purpose. Sobering, isn't it? I can't spend all my life in the third grade. I can't spend all of my life doing something that's not going to profit me or anyone who ascribed to my influence. Faith applied to purpose is a purpose fulfilled. So in order for purpose to be fulfilled, it takes faith. Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. I promise you I'm going to give you a child. Well, Abraham, I have to believe that you can do this thing because I can't. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to line myself up with your purpose. I know you can. I know I can. But I know you need me, even though I can. But with you, I can. So I'm going to put myself right where you are. I am going to let you lead me around. I am going to let you maneuver where I plant myself, because what you want to do is you want to line me up with purpose so I can give you what you and Sarah can't produce on your own. So whatever it is that you can't produce, everything that I have now, I could not produce, but it exists now. Why does it exist now? Because I am in my purpose, and I have more faith in my purpose than I have in myself. I am the one that's in purpose. So I can't be hijacked by any types of programs that are presented to me. Because when I listen for my purpose in that program. I can't be misled by somebody that's just got a great idea, because I listen for my purpose within the conversation that I'm in. A lot of people present a lot of things to me, but that's okay. I'm listening for my purpose in that, because if I find my purpose, I apply my faith, so my purpose is now being fulfilled. So these type of things are not, they're not taught in traditional church. So you just have this conglomeration of people who are sitting that are not getting great results because they're not in purpose. And you say, well, that's kind of hard to do. No, it's not hard to do. It takes yielding to what you heard, the voice, the word of God. When you hear the word of God, you yield yourself to the word of God, and it will navigate you towards your purpose. And then you put your faith in the purpose of God, and then God will call you to flourish. There's no way that you can be in purpose and not flourish. That's not possible. If you can be in purpose and not flourish, God has broken his promise. So I put it all on God. It's your purpose, it's your promise, and I'm your guy. It's your purpose, it's your promise, and I am your guy. What I do in Birmingham is not normal. It is not normal. Here I am, I have resurrected apostles, even on Saturday, resurrected apostles in Birmingham. It's been almost 45 years since someone would even acknowledge the title. But it's my purpose. So this is what happened after Saturday. All those were of the bishopric stayed over to Monday. I went to Dallas. They knew I'd be speaking Monday. They stayed over until Monday because they wanted to hear more. Because I'm in purpose. If you're going to bring a reformation to an organization, you have to be in purpose. Because there's something on you when you believe that will bring reformation and life to the organization again. So those men sat there, especially on Monday, and they came alive again. I saw the elderly men come alive again because I'm in purpose. When you're in purpose, you cause things to live. When you're outside of purpose, you kill things that should be living. How was Jesus able to raise Lazarus from the dead? He was in his purpose. All right. This is not too much for you all. I told Sasha to order my headset because I'm about to put my microphone down, because we need some people in faith. That means you got to be taught, because I don't need you with those bad testimonies when you're in a good place. Faith applied to purpose is a purpose fulfilled. The essence of faith is seen when one's purpose is embraced. This is a challenge. This is a challenge. Adrian has just come on staff, first part of May. No one else in this church can do what she does for my staff. No one. If they could, it would have been them. At this point in my life, I have to have the right one in purpose. No one else in 5 locations, according to the other organizations that I lead, no one else could fit that area. No one else. She is the one. Jealousy can't change it. Demonic activity can't change it. Haters can't change it. She has embraced her purpose. So now I am relaxing in that area. Let me teach tonight. I am now relaxing. And those who want me to relax and you're praying for me to relax, then you pray for her. Because I am now relaxing in that area. Why? Because purpose is being fulfilled. Now, for those who think there's only one position, there is a number of positions. You have not seen the circle that I am running in. So you will limit this church to what you're most acquainted with, which is less than what I'm acquainted with. And you will say what I need, and you have never been exposed to the room that I've been in. Okay. Okay. Stay with me, y'all. Are you guys okay? I have 15 minutes. I'm going to drop the mic and I'm done. The essence of faith is seen when one's purpose is embraced. You will not see the magnitude of what faith can do until you embrace your purpose. There are so many things that are laid out before us. And there are so many people on social media pretending success and are great failures. So it's about embracing. My second year of pastoral ministry, the Lord showed me four religious people were going to crucify me. It was my second year of pastoral ministry. I wasn't even in the Centerpoint area. But it was my purpose. When Peter tried to stop Jesus from going through what he had to go through to get to glory, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I knew I would get ridiculed because I was different. I was in purpose. And you will always war against purpose when you have none. So I embrace my purpose. I embrace the pain. I embrace the journey. But God said, if a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, unless it falls to the ground and dies, it's about us alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. See, if you're in purpose, you can fall and die because you know on the other side of being buried, there is a resurrection of multiplication. A lot of people want to multiply, but they don't want to go through the process of dying and being buried. It takes faith to go to the tomb. It takes faith to be silent. Yes, we know you have a voice, but you have not gone through the process of using your faith to be silent for a moment. Okay. Just a few more minutes. Your purpose is God's guarantee of provision while you're on earth. Your purpose is God's guarantee of provision while you're on earth. Lady Davis and myself, as long as we're in purpose, we will never be without. It's been a long time since we've been without. It's been a long time since what we lead has been without. I'll take it a step further because we're not planning to get out of purpose. We will never be without. While we're in this earth, we have submitted ourselves to the God's purpose, and we will never be without. And I can say that with boldness and with faith, that we will never. So those who are waiting on us to be without, They're going to be waiting for a long time, because that is not going to happen. In fact, God's going to bless more and more and more, because when you get in purpose, God has no option but to shower down from heaven down to the earth everything that you need. You don't know Jehovah Jireh until you're in purpose. It was when Abraham was in purpose that he was able to go and with an intention of slaughtering his son. But the Bible said that's where the manifestation of Jehovah Jireh came. The reason you have not seen Jehovah Jireh is you haven't been willing to sacrifice what he gave you. It takes faith. It takes faith to give up your ministry. Marlene, we had this building. I had 3,000 members. I had a nice bank account. But when I became a New Birth Church, there was no struggle on this ministry at all. And I stood right here and signed it underneath my leader, because I knew the next dimension of what we would do, I had to be willing to bring what God promised me and gave me, and I had to be willing to yield it. You have to do that with a business. You have to do that with a career. You have to do that with ministry, because this is the pattern that I walked. And I'm still submitted to this day, because everything I do and every seed that I sow shall live and produce harvest. Everything I yielded, I received multiplication back. Everything that I yielded, I received multiplication back. This is not my gift. This is my purpose. You can't kill me if you can't kill my purpose. God doesn't defend an individual. God defends his purpose. I studied many generals in the body of Christ from years ago. In order for Satan to be successful against them, he had to lure them from their purpose. I refuse to be lured from my purpose, because my purpose will be fulfilled while I'm in this earth. So it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It's your purpose that God protects. Not your mindset, not your degrees, not what you think about yourself. It's what God has placed in you that you have thoroughly embraced. Okay. So faith is not a house. Faith is not a car, because everybody else without faith can get that. There are people who never quoted a scripture who have what you have. There are people who never attend church that have what you have. There are people who don't even believe that God exists and they have what you have. So that could not be it. One thing about them, they're not in purpose. And as long as they're not in purpose, they will ride so many roller coaster rides in life, because they're not in purpose. But it's about the purpose that you believe in. I am so abnormal from the neighborhood I was raised in. I am so abnormal for Birmingham. People ask me when they come here to hear me, or they're streaming in. They ask me, am I from Birmingham? I said, yes, I was born and raised here, but I'm in purpose. So purpose has shaped me. Purpose has molded me. Purpose has placed me into arenas where iron sharpens iron. See, outside of purpose, you haven't gotten with the people who can make you better. And outside of purpose, you're with people who are making you worse. You're with people who are bringing out negative characteristics in you, and you should be with people who bring out positive characteristics in you. You're with people who bring dishonor when you need to be with people who bring honor to your life, that teach you about honor, that teach you how to operate when you're around kings and priests. Your purpose is God's guarantee of provision while you're on earth. I don't even ask Lady Davis, does she have enough money to pay the bills? Do we ever have that kind of discussion? No. If I'm in purpose, bills are paid. No, let me tell you, we don't have those kind of conversations. I don't ever ask the bookkeeper, are we in the red? Because we're never in the red. We have never seen the red in this building. Why? Because we're in purpose. I had a chance to do it like they told me. And I had the opportunity to do it the way purpose has placed in me. I noticed it didn't take very long to see the consequences of doing it the way they said. But I saw instant results through my faith in what he said. So too many of you are attempting to be a copy of failure. Too many of you are rehearsing things that no longer exist. No one even desires that anymore. And you're trying to do that. So that's a wasted life. And then the world laughs at us because we're doing things that are out of style. Because we don't have enough faith to move with God. Let me tell you what's out of style. It's out of style to be against your senior leader in this season and you're under their leadership. That's out of style. We've gone through a pandemic. That's real bad behavior after you've gone through a pandemic. Ouch. My last one. I have 3 minutes. The more you hear about God's plan for you, the more your faith will increase. See, every time I hear a message, it's to me. It's speaking to my purpose. It's increasing my faith in my purpose. According to Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What happened to us to where we felt that our faith would grow without hearing God's word? How many projects are running on fumes? How many conferences are being done and it's no faith in God's word? How many structures are in church that we can't track? There's a major deficit in the body of Christ. And it's in the belief system of those in the church. And we're now in the season. I watched the number of people being baptized. They want the Lord. They want God. And I see empty leaders of purpose. That's why we have to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. You have to have faith to endure. You have to have faith to keep doing the right thing when everything around you is wrong. It takes faith to maintain truth when you see lies everywhere. If all of my friends are in South Africa, so be it. Because I'm not going to have close friends that don't believe. Faith should come out of the instruments. Faith should come out of every singer. Faith should come out of the intercessors. Faith should come out of the ushers and greeters. Faith should come out of the children's church, because it's not God if it's not a faith. Faith should come out of the parking lot attendants. When you pull on the campus, you should feel faith, because we all believe in you. You should feel faith. We should be able to visit your home and feel faith. People who have visited my home, and you know, I have some sinus stuff going on, so I'm kind of reluctant about bringing people, because I'm going to protect them. It's not that I don't have faith. They may not have had enough faith, so I'm going to protect them from me. Okay. But if they enter my home, they will feel faith in my home. All of this was built by faith, trusting God. The Lord gave me a word. They said they wanted $5.2 million for it. The Lord said, offer them $3 million. They took it. Everything he told me, I told them. I look like a major businessman. Everything he told me, I told them, and they agreed to it. I said, well, we have another building that we have not sold. They purchased that other building. So we were released to purchase this building. You can't tell me now that God won't. We were in the home that we're living in now so fast. It took us about 2 months, 3 months to realize it was ours. Because we just believe what God said. We were not going to even attempt, but we had a word from the Lord. This kind of teaching and preaching seems to be absent from the body, and the body needs it the most. While I was in Dallas, I made contact with some of my friends there in Dallas, and I said, I need your faith teaching. I have to bring you to Birmingham. Because there are deficits. People have gone through so much, they're weary in a time that faith can move mountains. I can't see anything but the coffin that was sitting here. I can't get a visual of my mother being in the coffin. I have a visual of her in heaven. Faith says that's where she is. So my zeal and my drive is because I know my mother's safe. When you're in purpose, everything's safe with God.
Hey, if you're ever in the Birmingham area, we'd love to see you. Stop by, because everyone is welcome at Refresh Family Church. It's full of friendly people, a warm atmosphere, and a powerful word. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. or our empowerment service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located at 117 12th Court Northwest in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll see you soon at Refresh. Want to find out more about Apostle Stephen A. Davis? Well, log on, because StephenADavis.org is now live. That's right, log on to StephenADavis.org now and you can find out all about him. Watch live broadcasts and get all the information you need at StephenADavis.org. Available on all platforms. Log on today. Refresh Family Church. As we worship together, remember our five goals: serving the needs of families, reaching the lost, equipping the saints, reaching the nations, and transferring to generations. At Refresh Family Church, we're more than just a church. We're a nation. To find out more, log on to StephenADavis.org. We'll see you next time.